Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9. This is part 3 in the series of building universal Windows platform apps. We first saw how to just build something. We secondly saw how to make it adaptive. And now what are we going to talk about? Tell us who you are, Ian.
Right. I'm Muni Ravindranathan, and I'm a program manager in Registry as well. I'm going to show you the third part of the session, which is like taking something that was built before and doing something with it, which is sending it to the store.
Sure.
So that's going to be the primary thing I'm going to showcase. It's not going to be as exciting, but it's a really important part of the developer workflow.
So when it comes to the store, is it just the store for phone, or is there a store now for Windows 10 apps?
Yeah, I mean, with Windows 10, it's what we call the unified store. It's the same portal that you go to do management of apps for all Windows 10 devices. So you no longer have like a phone store or a PC store. Mm-hmm. It's the same store delivering the same package to all devices that are capable of receiving the package.
Awesome.
So to start with, I'm going to go back to Visual Studio for a second before we go and talk about the store portal. And I'm going to show how you can get started building the packages and testing them so that they're ready for submission to the store. Keep in mind that the bar is now a lot higher, right? You're ready to send the app in production. And so you have to take the necessary safeguards and you have to test your application
right.
more thoroughly before you can actually send it to the store. So that's what we're going to focus on here. Before we actually create a package to send to the store, I just want to point out a couple more things that as a .NET developer in particular, you might want to know.
Okay.
So the very first thing is this notion of .NET native. What that is what we have done for Windows 10 is because we want your apps to perform great, have great startup times, use less memory, we've done a lot of work in .NET to sort of optimize the app before the client even gets a chance to run it.
I see.
All of this optimization happens in the cloud. So we take your IL code that you submit as a part of the application to the cloud. We run it via the .NET native compiler. We get actual native binaries in the cloud. And that's what really is delivered to the client when the client gets the application, right? But keep in mind that you as a developer, the onus is on you to test the bits as the client would get them.
Sure.
And in Visual Studio, it's not very hard to do that as well. So that's what I'm going to first demonstrate, which is you've built an app, you've made sure that it sort of works, you've tested it thoroughly, et cetera, but you still need to make sure that you test it with .NET Native. And that's the first part of this demonstration that I'm going to do here.
Okay.
So I'm picking up the app where Daniel left off, like it's the exact same application. Let's go ahead and bring up the properties for this particular application in Visual Studio. And let's switch over to the configuration manager. And by default, Daniel was sort of like testing everything under debug. Let me go ahead and switch to the release configuration. Keep in mind that when you submit an app to the store, it can only be release binaries. You cannot submit debug binaries
sure.
because we, of course, want your consumers to have the best possible experience. Now, when you switch to the release configuration, the most important part of this particular page is this checkbox, which we check it on by default, which allows you to compile the application with the .NET Native toolchain. So what's happening here is when you test the application under release, it's going to take slightly longer to compile because we're doing a lot more work. But ultimately, you're testing the application as your consumer would get it, right? So in this particular case, I'm going to switch back to local machine and kick off the build. And while the build is happening, let me just talk a little bit about .NET Native. We live in a world where it's all about mobile devices and apps that are kind of sort of behaving differently than what you would in a typical desktop CLR world. We live in a world where memory is an important constraint. We live in a world where consumers will stop using your application if the application doesn't sort of like come up in 30 seconds, right? Like or 30 milliseconds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So to enable those scenarios, we built we took the technology that was there in C++, which we call our backend compiler technology, and brought it to the .NET scenario as well.
I see.
So you sort of get in many ways an app that starts up fast, consumes less memory, and is optimized using our really advanced C++ optimization compiler technologies.
Oh,
right?
I see.
So that's what's really happening here. You've built your application under debug or release. You've tested your application. And then hopefully your consumer sort of gets the best of that by running the application under release. I actually forgot to switch to release, so let me just do that one second real quick here and run this application. It'll take a little bit longer to compile the application because there's a lot more heavy lifting that's happening now over here. So we typically think of the developer workflow as primarily focused on the debug configuration. You're quickly iterating on your application. And every once in a while, let's say an hour or two, or whenever you make significant changes to the application, you should make sure that you test your release configuration as well.
I see.
Think about this as a dimension in your set of devices that you're already targeting. For each device, you should make sure that every so often, you test your application build and test your application release build as well. You really literally have to do nothing but switch to release and build and run the app, and then
so
make sure that it
the main
well.
Difference then, because back in the day, remember we used to engine our .NET code. Is it the same kind of thing?
In many ways. So there is really no JIT in the engine world. You still get a little bit of JIT in some cases. In this world, it's sort of like a JIT-free environment. So you really get no JIT on the client. But conceptually, it's a similar model. You are sort of generating native binaries, NGen, native generation. Mm-hmm. It's a similar concept, but the technology is actually radically different.
It's
highly optimized for mobile devices, unlike NGen, which was more optimized for client devices. I mean, if we were to do NGen, the experience would be you download the app, you sort of get MSIL startup sort of performance. The user is probably going to stop using your application if it's not great. And then NGen kicks in and makes it better. That's not the model we want. We want the model to be the model where the user downloads the application for the very first time, and within 30 seconds of using the application, they're going to make a decision whether they're going to use your app or not. And we want to give them the best experience. So we compile in the cloud versus doing anything on the device. And of course, you're talking about devices like IoT where that's not even an option.
Are there cases where you do something and it works in debug, but it might not work in release?
That's really why we want you to, like, as a compiler team, we have done a lot to make sure that that onus is not on the developer. But at the same time, like, there is always the chance that there might be a slight difference, and that's what you need to, like, for example, the timing characteristics may be different slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're writing asynchronous code, you may have, not foreseen a scenario or something like that could happen, because the timing characteristics are different.
I see. Because it's going to be much faster.
Yeah, there are some more advanced topics that you might have to use if you sort of like want to diagnose issues, specific to your release configuration or .NET native.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, we've done a lot of work to make sure that that's abstracted away from most people. So here it's the exact same application. Let me just disable this warning. And I'm able to run the exact same application under release configuration, hit breakpoints and things like that. And, everything should hopefully work.
Function F5.
Oh, there we go, function F5. Let's do that. And, you get the point. Like, mm-hmm. I accidentally stopped the debugging. But the exact same app should work under release configuration as well. Now that you have tested under release, we are sort of kind of ready to send it to the store. But there's one more important point that I wanted to point out, which is, when you send to the store, you need to start thinking about additional scenarios that you might not have thought about. What does the title of the application look like? What does the description of the application look like? What does the so the users get like a pretty good experience when they try to acquire the application.
Sure.
So this particular workflow is part split in Visual Studio and part split on the store. Let me show you the Visual Studio part. So it really starts by what we call the application manifest, which describes the application to the operating system, if you may, and even to the store in some cases. Let me open up the manifest, and there are a few attributes that you should carefully choose to sort of configure to your liking, like the display name, or the description, or even like the languages that you're targeting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These are important characteristics of the application that you should think about before you actually submit the application to the store. Same goes with visual assets, the tiles that can potentially show up. Keep in mind that you're building a converged application that works across all Windows devices, which means you need to think about the form factors that these apps are running on as well.
Sure.
So there are different specifications based on the user experience of the device for logos and things like that. So the manifest designer is a good place for you to go configure these capabilities and visual assets and things like that, so that your user gets a pretty good experience. The other part that you want to pay close attention to is the assets themselves. And outside of the configuration, you essentially have assets that the package is carrying. And by default, the assets are essentially like meaningless, right? And you should not really submit an app to the store with the default logo that Visual Studio mm-hmm. gives you. You have to tailor your experience to the app that you're trying to build.
And you check for that.
Absolutely. And I'll show you a couple of cases where things fail if you don't do the right things well. But here's an example of different logos that in this particular case have been optimized for the app that we are sort of trying to build here. So that's a place that you want to pay close attention to. Like the splash screen, is an image in your project, right? So if you did not change it, it would be the gray rectangle that you pointed out, you know, when we were trying to deploy to the IoT device, right? Now that's done, let's go ahead and build a package to send to the store. So if you go to the project menu, once you've selected a particular project, there's a store option in there that allows you to create app packages that you sort of want to send to the store. So let's go ahead and work through this workflow. There are a couple of options that you can choose for your packages. Either you can build them so that you can send them to the store, and the client can then acquire these apps from the store, either free or trial or whatever is your policy. Mm-hmm. But you can also create these packages so you can sideload. In an enterprise environment, for example, you want to sort of bypass the store and you want to have your own distribution mechanism for your users, mm-hmm. right? In that particular case, you could choose to sort of use the no option, and that leads you to a slightly different workflow, but in this case, we are more interested in sending the package to the store. So let's go ahead and select yes, hit next. The first thing you have to do is sign into the store. So let me go ahead and do that. Once you sort of sign into the portal, you're given a set of app names that you might have already chosen to reserve on the portal, or you can continue to, you know, to reserve a new app.
So in the portal, you can pre-reserve names for things you want to do.
That's correct.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're lucky. So it's a hard exercise to find a good name that's not already taken.
It's like a buying a domain name.
That's correct. Exactly the same experience. So in this case, I already had created a, you know, like a name, reserved a name, but you could do that inside Visual Studio as well. And I'm going to hit next. So now you are sort of taken through the experience of creating packages that you want to send to the store. We highly recommend that you test your application on all architectures and submit packages to the store for all architectures. That allows you to get the maximum device breadth out there. Sure. For example, if you did not submit an AMP package, your mobile customer is suddenly out of scope here, right? So you should consider building packages for all three architectures and sending them to the store. All right, Seth, we're going to fast forward a few minutes. It took about 5 minutes to build this whole thing.
And it's important to realize that the reason why it took so long is because we were doing that .NET Native Toolchain for three different architectures.
Yeah. And by the way, if you think about it, why did we run .NET Native Toolchain? Because we're going to submit IL to the cloud, and the cloud's going to run the .NET Native tools. The reason why we did it is because we want to make sure we want you to fall into the pit of success.
Right.
If there's an issue, we want you to catch it versus the store saying, oh, something went wrong, you know, and you'd never tested it. So as a safeguard, we ran .NET Native on your machine.
That's right.
So that you could get packages that don't accidentally fail in the store.
That's right, because you mentioned that this happens in the cloud,
exactly.
But we're going to do it a priori on your machine.
Yeah, that's a good segue into actually looking at what got built behind the scenes. We built two different things, right? We built a package over here, the Apex Upload package, that really is ready to go to the store. And you can just drag and drop that, and it's good to go. It has all the three architectures built in. It has the PDB, so you can debug issues when they later happen. Like, for example, the store portal will show you crashes and analytics and things like that for your application. So it has everything that's needed to submit to the store. But we also built, running the .NET Native tools, a test app package. What this is primarily used for is sideloading.
I see.
If you want to sort of like put this on your phone or your PC without going to the store, you still need to run .NET Native because we want your user to have great, good experiences, but the store is not compiling that app anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So we are running the .NET Native compiler on your code or your IL, generating these packages that are ready to now go to the, you know, onto your device, essentially.
Cool.
So there are these two artifacts. In this particular case, because we are really interested in sending this app to the store, it's the Apex upload that we really care about.
Okay.
So let's switch gears and actually take this app and submit it to the store. So I'm going to go back to the store portal over here. I have a bunch of apps. You know, this is sort of my test account, not really being used. But generally, you can see, like, just as an overview, you can see a bunch of apps over here. And then you can see some analytics of this apps. Like, for example, how many people are downloading it. If you scroll a little bit below, are there any crashes and things like that, and so on and so forth. So you can get some rough analytics from the store portal. And then, of course, you can use application insights, which is, to get richer insights into your application as well. So you get like this, you know, depending upon what you need, you can get the analytics for your application built right out of the box, either on the store portal or on our Azure portal for application insights. In this particular case, it so happens that I submitted the app, and it ran into an issue in the submission process. We'll talk about that later. But what you could do is you could start making changes to this particular application. So if you wanted to sort of drag and drop and upload a new package, all you have to do is create a new submission for this particular app. In this case, I'm just going to edit the existing submission I have. Once I click the submission, you can change a bunch of things in this particular app. In this case, you can change the metadata, or you can change your pricing model, or whatever it is. You can make all these configurations. But ultimately, the packages that you created, it's as simple as going to the Packages tab over here, browsing to your particular files that sort of contain the Apex upload, and submitting this particular app to the store. That's pretty much all it is. Right? So that's fairly straightforward. And then one more thing I wanted to show you is the submission process is actually pretty good. If you create a new app, reserve an app name, and submit an app for the first time, it takes about a day or so for your app to go through certification and be available to your users. But then if you sort of are just making an incremental update, if somebody reports a crash or something like that, and immediately fix it and send that to the store, that's actually a pretty quick turnaround time. In an hour or so, the app goes through the whole pipeline and is available right there on the store for the client to sort of download and use this application. So we have done a lot of work in Windows 10 to streamline this workflow with the store, to make it possible for the developer to, you know, quickly fix an issue without, like, you know, hours of delay, which could actually adversely impact your rating, you know, usage of the application, and so on and so forth. In this particular case, if you remember, I had submitted the application and I had intentionally introduced an error, so I can actually show it to you.
Okay.
In this case, let's go ahead and open the certification report. You will see that the app failed certification because I did not give a meaningful description to this application, right? Like, we want our store to be curated to the point where there is meaningful apps and people have rich metadata about these apps so users can find them easily.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I broke that rule and it failed certification. So I can quickly fix it, resubmit the app, and it should be available in a few hours in a corrected state. But one thing I want to point back, going back to Visual Studio, is this button that you see here, which is the Windows App Certification Kit. This one is sort of like a safeguard that essentially runs the certification kit locally on your machine, runs through almost the same set of checks that the store runs, minus the subjective ones that you can't really automate, and gets you a pretty good degree of confidence that your app is actually correct and, you know, is not going to, you know, the chances of success when you submit to the store are much higher. So, for example, if you remember, we talked about logos and how you should, like, really tailor those for your application. If you did not change the Visual Studio logos, there's a test in this kit that catches that, right? So let me just quickly launch it to show you what I mean. When you launch this certification kit, you see a number of these tests, and we recommend that you run each one of them before you submit to the store, but you're free to choose what you want to run. There is, like, tests like, are the resources in the manifest correct? Or is the package, you know, consistent in terms of, like, has the developer taken the pain to update different attributes that we want them to update? So this is a good safeguard, and we highly recommend that people run the certification kit one time or multiple times on their machine each time they make a change to the package and send an app to the store. So that's sort of like, you know, what it takes to build a package to the store, send it to the portal, and make it available for your client to download.
It's not too bad. And you have, like, built-in side unit tests, just in case.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's unit tests and there's coded UI tests, so you can automate your UI and test against it. Of course, we didn't cover any of the profiling tools. There's a lot of ways you can finesse your application in terms of performance and things like that. All of that deeply integrated inside Visual Studio.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you have seen three parts of building a universal Windows platform app. We saw how to just build it. We saw how to tailor it for whatever device. And now we saw how to actually put it on the store.
Yep. We want folks to try out Visual Studio 2015. It's free. Windows 10 is free. There's no reason for you not to build a great app. We'd love to hear your feedback and how we can do better.
Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us, bud.
Thanks, Seth.
Thanks for watching. And again, we will see you next time. Take care.